RAE Argentina to the World presents 10 Argentine People Who Impress the World. Estela de Carlotto, The Indefatigable Grandmother. The democratic period from 1973 to 1976, tinged with an absolute freedom of political ideologies, resulted in a deep political and social unrest in Argentina. Yet, the active role of the youth in political life and at school centers was an ordinary activity after years of military regime. In 1974, violence exerted by the far-right vigilant groups such as murders, life threats to artists, scientists, and intellectuals triggered a large number of exiles.
Se comunica a la población que a partir de la fecha el país se encuentra bajo el control operacional de la Junta Militar.
Yet the military coup that took place on March 24, 1976, created a detention and extermination center for the political opponents. Within that context, the figures of the missing person and misappropriation of newly born babies in captivity were born. Estela de Carlotto lived in La Plata, a city located 60 kilometers far from the Argentine capital city. She worked as a rural teacher and had four children. The eldest, Laura, was a school militant of the Peronist Party. Few months after the coup, her mother warned her she could be in danger. Estela's husband owned a small company when his daughter felt she was being pursued. He then decided to lend her a truck to take her stuff to Buenos Aires, far away from La Plata. The hours struck endlessly, but Laura's call never arrived. Guido Carlotto, her father, started looking for her desperately, and he was kidnapped. It was August 1, 1977, winter. Estela was desperate. The vigilance asked her $30,000 to release her husband. She collected the money without letting anybody know. Yet, when Guido Carlotto returned from captivity, nobody believed his story. These are Estela's memories. On August 25th, 1977, my husband was released. He had lost 15 kilograms. He talked for 8 hours, telling us about the torture and the rapes. Estela's visit to hospitals and police stations looking for her husband prepared her for what would come later, when her daughter was kidnapped on November 26, 1977. Laura, 22, was 2.5 months pregnant. Laura was kidnapped and missing at the clandestine center known as La Cacha, in the surroundings of the city of La Plata. During a meeting with secondary school students, Estela says, "When Laura, my daughter, who was in Buenos Aires with her couple, stopped calling or writing to me, I started looking for her. And where did I go? Terrified and without knowing what to do. And to see the powerful people. The bishop, the archbishop of La Plata, Monsignor Plaza. And she goes on. I even managed to meet General Bignone, who at that time was the secretary of the junta. I begged him to put her at the disposal of the executive, but not to kill her.
Me dijo, señora, hay que hacerlo.
He said to me, lady, it must be done. And in those words, death was implicitly understood. The latest events took Estela away from her job as a teacher, and the search of her daughter started. She realized she could not do that alone. Therefore, she joined a group of women in the same situation who had already started fighting in April 1977, trying to locate their children and grandchildren. That's the origin of the Mothers of Plaza de Mayo and the later Grandmothers of Plaza de Mayo. the humanitarian association Estela presides. Mothers and grandmothers of Plaza de Mayo chose a symbol to represent them. The symbol identifies integrity and the ethics in search of the truth. The white diaper of their children and grandchildren folded on their heads and tied with a knot as a handkerchief. The white handkerchief of the nuts of Plaza de Mayo. They lie. It's already 2 years they are looking for our children. My daughter was 5 months pregnant. My grandson must have been born in August. We want to know where our children are, live or dead. We don't know where they are sick. Desperation, sir. We've made ambassadors, been to ministries, churches. We don't know where else to go. The doors have been closed on us everywhere. Desperation, sir. At a certain time, a woman who had been in captivity and later released told the Carlotto family that Laura's child was due for June 1978 and that in case the baby was a boy, he would be called Guido, like her father, and that she had been promised that her child would be left at the Casa Cuna for her mother to pick it up. The birth, as per much later investigation, took place at the mentioned date, but a clandestine maternity unit built at the Central Military Hospital in Buenos Aires. Only 5 hours could Laura keep her child with her, since it was taken away from her when she was transferred again to La Cacha. 60 days later, she was murdered by the military staff at the operational area 114. Her body was delivered to her parents at the police station unit. Estela explains to the Italian justice the way she learned her daughter had died. The message was shocking. We thought gladly Laura will be back, or they will give me my grandchild. But we also thought something much worse could have happened, that she might have been killed. My husband, one of my brothers, and me went together to learn about the news. The deputy sheriff met us at his desk. He showed us Laura's ID card and said, "Do you know her?" We said, "Yes, she's our daughter, Laura." And he said, "I'm sorry to tell you that she died." I can't say in word what I felt. I'm generally a quiet person. But I said to the sheriff, "You are murderers. You kidnapped her. You killed her. Where's my grandchild?" As from that moment, Estela set an objective. She would not have her daughter any longer, but her child was alive, and she had to find him. The harder the grandmothers worked, the more they learned about the unfortunate events. They claimed for the appearance of their relatives at every court at the Catholic Church, at the orphanages, filed their petitions before the Inter-American Commission of Human Rights, before the OAS, the UN. They succeeded in gathering information that resulted in a stunning figure. Kidnapped and misappropriated children born in captivity amounted to more than 400. Among them, Guido. Some trials move forward, and more information was gathered and disclosed. But the mothers and grandmothers suffered a hard blow in 1989 when the government of President Carlos Menem decided to pardon all the repressors and put an end to all legal actions. In 1992, the National Commission for the Right of Identity was created, an entity that housed the first national bank of genetic data, an organism that would allow, and so it did, that young adults who doubted about their identities may go there and had it verified. The bank was an excellent means to scientifically locate the missing grandchildren. One day, for his 18th birthday, Estela wrote a letter to her grandson. When Guido, my grandchild, became 18, I wrote him a letter that was born from my heart. I wanted to tell him something to the one I've never met, I've never seen, but I loved so much. And the hope that he, someday, meet with us. Thanks to a very slow and patient and huge task, the grandmothers reached an agreement with several mass media to broadcast a simple but direct message focused on the young people.
Si dudas de tu identidad,
if you were born between 1975 and 1983, and you doubt about your identity, please come to Grandmothers of Plaza de Mayo. And the grandchildren started coming. In very few years, 80 grandchildren were identified. They recovered their true identity. Meanwhile, she collected memories of her fight for her grandchild Guido. T-shirts of the international congresses and conferences attended, brooches, some dear objects, always with the hope of giving them to him someday, while looking into his eyes and saying his name. And once she said, "In case I never find Guido, I won't have them. The other grandmother's grandchildren, who are also mine. And if one day you recover your identity, Guido, and I'm not, someone will give you everything I kept for you." In August 2014, when she was 83 years old and had already received awards and honors in Italy, France, the UNESCO, and universities, a piece of news moved her and the world. The grandchild of the president of the Grandmothers of Plaza de Mayo had appeared. Over 180 journals from Argentina and more than 20 foreign countries gathered for a press conference to see Guido's face. His adoptive name was Ignacio Urban. He lived in Olavarría in the province of Buenos Aires. He was the recovered grandchild, 114. Guido Ignacio Carlotto, by his grandmother's side.
No puedo seguir cantando esta pena que apaga mi corazón. No puedo ver la luz sin desfallecer, hiriendo de piedra el camino.
Guido and Estela gave a press conference.
Yo soy Ignacio.
I'm Ignacio, or Guido, because she's quite strong in her decision. I'm a bit confused. These are recent events for me. And I feel it is wonderful and magic, everything that's going on. And I'd like that what's happening to me may serve to cure some injuries opened so many years ago, and which I'm lucky enough to be part of the healing process.
De este pequeño proceso de cicatrización.
Then Estela said, "It is pretty difficult. I may be seen crying. I was always like this. I'm used to assuming my responsibility. I hate bothering others. Only my friends know what I went through, and I received great comfort. I'm very happy to have my grandson next to me." Some months later, Pope Francis received Estela and Guido Montoya Carlotto at the Vatican. On that occasion, the president of the Grandmothers requested once again to have the files of the Catholic Church opened so that everything that happened during those years of dictatorship could be disclosed and the truth known. And she also publicly admitted a mistake. RAE, Argentina to the World, presented 10 Argentine people who impressed the world. Estela de Carlotto, indefatigable grandmother. Production, Silvana Avellaneda. Edition, Matías Arrezaigor. The voice, Miriam Turcula.